You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, back here with some highlights from this year's Transform Master Series. What sort of experience would you try to give your customers if you knew they were comparing that experience to the best they'd ever had, either inside or outside the real estate industry? Well, according to Google CEO Sundar Pichai, in today's age of social media, that's exactly what they're doing. This coaching session was all about customer experience, and for our Transformers, we sought out some serious experience in the area for them. Their coach, someone who is used to keeping a lot of very demanding customers happy, and that is RockEnd's Chief Customer Officer, Scott Downing. In this coaching session, Scott covers some of the usual things, like how customer service can be the cheapest form of referrals if you get it right. But he also covers in depth some of the lesser known things, like what to do if you get a bad review and why you should consider it a gift, why keeping your employees happy is the key to keeping your customers happy, and why these days you can partner to provide a better service rather than trying to do it all by yourself. Here's Scott.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus.
My background was always in financial services and telco for a long time. My previous role was actually with Telstra, and I started looking after their global contact centres for about 4 years and then morphed into customer experience and advocacy office there because I got told by one of my leaders that I am one of the hardest people to please from a customer experience perspective, and my partner tells me that regularly as well, so I can be the worst customer. I've got very high expectations, and hopefully it's starting to manifest into my work here. But so I was brought into RockEnd about a year ago in December actually to introduce the customer experience strategy and also an advocacy strategy. And for me, it's really clear that we have to understand the difference between the two. So how do we have a strategy to drive great customer experience within our business in every single touch point that we have with a customer? But how is that also leading up to a higher level around how we're driving advocates? Because we want customers to be not only advocating us as individuals within the property management area, but we want them to be advocating our brand, our office, our whole way of being, because that's the cheapest form of advertising that any of us can have. And I think we've got high expectations now based on every single experience that we have, and we start to really get challenged around that. So I'm going to share with you some of the things that we do and also some of the things from a logical perspective around working in that customer experience space. There's some global benchmarking and things like that as well. Everyone always has a quote that sort of sticks with them, and this is a quote that I actually really like. You can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking that we use to create them. And for me, anyone who works in the customer experience or advocacy space, it's all about mindset. It's all about thinking, and this is one of the hardest things to actually change, because you can read a book, you can go on something like this, but you actually need to be really thinking and holding yourself accountable to doing different things. So no one comes to work on a day, well, I hope we don't, but no one comes to work and thinks, I want to do a really bad job today. You know, everyone comes to work with the right intent to deliver great customer outcomes, be profitable, excel within their role to get promoted, or whatever your own career aspirations are. But the key thing for me is if you keep thinking about things in the same way, you're just going to recreate what you've already done. And this is a big shift, and this is one of the things that I've seen in a lot of my previous roles, is that senior leaders, and we see it in the real estate industry quite a lot with either people that hold that office manager role, or sometimes it's the principal, or sometimes it's the franchise group, and they go, no, we've always done it like this. It's proven. But the world's changing, you know, and we can be the right side of history or the wrong side of history. And it's really around, as leaders and people that want to transform the industry that we're working, how are we prepared to unlearn? Because it's a really hard thing to do. So one of the things that I wanted to share with you here is around communication. The speed of communication is getting so much faster, and it's not just in our industry. You know, the Airbnb is a prime example. We can access information wherever we want, and we actually don't look for it. So a prime example, I was at PMC 17 yesterday, and I landed in the Gold Coast and turned my phone on, and TripAdvisor asked me if I wanted a restaurant in the Gold Coast. It knew I was there. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty scary. But I didn't even need to think about it. I went to get into an Uber and I thought, actually, I can't remember where this conference is taking place. So I went into my diary and it was in there and I copy and pasted and it goes straight into Uber. You don't actually need to think, but my expectation of a customer now is that that Uber would be there and my phone would get me there. So the whole way that we used to think and do work is really being changed by technology, but we're starting to think differently as well as a customer. So as a provider of a service, we've got to be thinking differently as that provider just as much as we do as the customer. It's not long ago that we even survived without a device. We're so dependent on that device now, and customers are. So we've got to be really thinking, what are customers expecting from us in the real estate industry where they don't want to be thinking? How are they using online portals? How are we pushing information to them? How are we stopping them from needing to call us because we're thinking for them and technology is providing them with that? So we've really got to be thinking from a customer experience perspective, what are they going to want? And we need to be pushing that information to them before they get there. When eBay launched, they didn't have a way of taking payments. So what they did is they started to integrate with PayPal. So when you're thinking about customers are being more demanding on you, you don't have to be the jack of all trades. Really think about, what are you going to be renowned for and what are you going to be a mastery at? Because it's okay to actually provide a service for your customers with someone else. So decide who you affiliate with. Are they renowned for good service? Are they renowned for service that you want to be known for referring people to? And make sure that you can give that end-to-end experience, but you don't have to be great at everything. That's okay. The biggest thing to excel in customer experience for me is being really clear on the vision for your strategy and your vision and strategy for your business. And it comes back to that thinking piece. So be prepared to not know everything. So when you don't know something, it's okay to talk to your customers and say, that's okay, we don't know this, but we'll go away and find out. So there's a big belief to excel at customer experience that you have to know everything and you have to be really prepared to be one step ahead of your customer. It's okay to be at the same stage as your customer, but be transparent about that. So customers need help from us, but we need to be able to drive longer term with them. So you start to build loyalty with a customer by saying, I don't know that, or, you know, in the eBay example, here's PayPal, we're affiliating with other customers. So customers have that whole end-to-end journey and they see that you're moving towards that. They don't need to know that you've got everything straight away. And the more that you bring the customer on that journey with you and they see that you've got a clear strategy and clear direction, they're more likely to stay with you and go on that journey. And that's where you start to create advocates. So be prepared to take your customers on that journey with you. Don't pretend you know everything. Don't pretend you have all the answers. Be transparent around that and do that in a way that's authentic to you and your personality, so you start to build that relationship. So a relationship type of transaction is one where customers will start to link into you and your personal brand, and then you can take them on that journey, and that's the first foundation step of how to build advocacy. So customers are coming along that, they become loyal to you, and the biggest thing, as you know, if you create an advocate, they start to promote you, your business, and your products, and it's the cheapest form of marketing. Thinking the same will only deliver the same outcomes, not ones that differentiate you and your business. It's okay that your bosses, your leaders, your mentors say, hey, try this, you know, we've done it, it's proven. That's okay, but be prepared to reframe that, shape that, challenge that with your own thinking and your own perspective. Again, I can't labor this anymore. The more we think differently and the more we think from the customer's perspective, that's how we start to differentiate. You'll probably know that a lot of businesses, so executives, leaders, plans, budgets, targets, come up with their strategic plan and start to do things on behalf of their customers to drive advocacy and customer experience. And that's what I call an inside-out view of the world. So people in their businesses decide in their ivory tower what customers want and design their products and their services based on that. That's great. If it's strategic direction or something you need to do to survive or for regulation, that's cool. But you don't actually really know what customers want unless you start to get close to them and you start to ask them for feedback and you start to do something with that feedback. So the whole beauty of differentiating yourself either as an individual or within your business is start to take an outside-in view of the world. So I think my customers need this. I'm going to go outside of my business. I'm going to talk to real customers. I'm going to ask them the right type of question, not a question that's going to prove me right, because a lot of people will go, oh, I'll do a focus group and we ask these questions and guess what? You get the answers that you want. But you've really got to ask them things like, so what's really important to you? What's going to happen for your business? What do you want? What matters to you? And they're the types of questions that differentiate you to be able to go, well, if 60% of the people I've spoken to think this, I should be doing something with that. You might not have even thought that. So that's why it's really important that you're prepared to unlearn and you're prepared to not force your opinions onto your customers to prove yourself right. And that's what differentiates you in this space. Understanding a great customer experience starts with a great employee experience. So we're all employees, and if we're happy, we're more likely to be doing the right stuff by our customers and making sure we go that extra mile. So a top tip is, whatever you do, do not forget the people that are around you. Because again, happy employees will give great customer experience. Disengaged employees, a bad workplace, is not how you're going to drive advocacy and customer retention, because they will be just doing the bare minimum to get by and get their salary. So never forget that employee engagement is just as important as the customer experience. One of the overarching principles that we use at Rockend, and it's in our advocacy strategy, is everything we do should be pinned on understanding and delivering what matters to customers. So within our coaching framework for our contact centres, one of the things that we mark against is, did you understand what mattered to that customer? So not what did they ask for or what process were you delivering that we've trained you in, what mattered? And it's a big difference, and this is where it comes down to thinking as well. So I want to have my inspections done every 6 months. Okay, that's great, but why? Do we really understand why that's important to that owner? What's going on for them? Well, actually, because I'm going to be moving back in a year because I've just relocated for a project with work and I want to keep it tip top. Or I know there's generally a problem with the shower and I want to keep on top of that. This is a real example actually from a local real estate. So a customer, when we started to test this with one of their property managers, they asked the question around what matters to you, and they were like, do you know what, I've got a frangipani out the back and it's really important to me because it was my grandma's and we moved it from her house when she passed away, and I want to check they're watering it. So they wanted a photograph of that frangipani every 3 months. And as bizarre as that sounds, the nominal value to that customer was so important that they get this photograph of this bush, and all they do is rave about this agency now because they truly understood what mattered, not the routine inspection report without a photograph of that frangipani. So just asking that different question is a real different perspective on how you can start to make yourself stand out in the customer experience. I'm going to talk a little bit here around the implementation and the deployment of NPS. So NPS, you've probably all done this without realizing, is what we call Net Promoter Score. So when you get that survey that comes through, hey, thank you for checking in at the QT Hotel or something like that, how was it? They're asking you some questions about the experience. So Net Promoter Score is a globally recognized benchmark for the customer experience. A lot of real estate agents are starting to do this now and triggering it out through things like SurveyMonkey, or a lot of people I know are using a company that's based out in New Zealand, where after every routine inspection or after every auction, they'll send out a survey and say, hey, how were we? The problem we've got there is we're getting feedback, but what we're not doing with it is what we call closing the loop. So every time a customer fills out one of those surveys, they expect somebody to be reading that and somebody to be doing something with that. When we're working in a small business or a small office, if you keep asking customers for their feedback and they don't get anything back from you, they're going to stop responding. So it's really important that if you start to implement and deploy NPS into your business, that you're very clear on where you're going to do it and how you're going to use it. So I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago there was about 400 property managers in the room, and I said to them, hey, put your hand up if you do NPS and you get surveys. And they all put about, I would say 2/3 put their hand up. And I said to them, put your hand up if you celebrate success when you get really good feedback from customers. Same hand stayed up in the room. Then I said, keep your hand up if you do something when you get really bad feedback. No hands were up. So customers were giving bad feedback because the customer experience was being damaged. They were giving the business the opportunity to improve their customer experience, but we were shying away from that feedback because it wasn't great. So again, you've got to be really careful. If you start to ask customers for feedback and you get negative feedback, you've got to treat it as a gift, because they're telling you how to make your experience, your brand, and get them to advocate for your business really quickly. And this is another example of having that outside-in view of the world, because these customers are giving you feedback from their real world, not your world, into your business, and telling you as an individual or your business what's not working for them. So bad feedback is good. So there's three types of NPS that you can do. So there's interaction NPS, and this is, if I have a conversation with Kylie, for example, at the end of that, someone will send a survey to Kylie and say, how was your interaction with Scott? How satisfied were you? Did he do everything he promised? Etc., etc. And it will give you a score, and the score will be an NPS score. Or there's the episode. So an episode NPS is when we put customers through a journey or a life cycle. So for example, buying a property. So from the moment they start looking at your advertising, the moment they ask for the literature, the moment they go through the open house, the moment they start to start talking to you about price, to the moment they turn up at the auction, to the moment they bid on that auction and are successful or not, that is an episode in that customer's life. So there could be interactions within that. So how was your open house with Scott? But the whole episode of that whole set of events is something that's really important to your business, because that's what they will remember. The third type of NPS survey that we do is what we call strategic NPS. So this is your business in its entirety. So you will be looking at key drivers around your branding, your pricing, and your service. And you will be asking your customer base to rate you against your peers, the local market, and real estate globally. And this means that you are really, really aware of what the global market, where you fit into that from a service and a customer experience perspective. So we've got three types of NPS that you can do to give yourself some benchmark and some measure. But the three things that are really important is, so don't do any of this without knowing how you're going to do it and how you're designing it into your business, because it can fall flat on its face. Ask customers to give you feedback and do nothing with it. Worse than not asking them at all. Prepare how to roll it into your business. So you can't just say we're going to do NPS. It took 6 months at Rockend to even get us anywhere near implementing a system, but also culturally being prepared for this. So it's a big shift for people to sort of turn the mirror straight back on you and shine the light on you and go, oh my God, every time I talk to somebody, someone potentially can tell me how I was. And then you've got to really have a way of rolling it out. What I want you to take from this is there's value in it, but if you're not going to do it with rigor, be very careful what you do. It can backfire on you. So there's three key areas within here. Know how to review customer feedback. You can do NPS, or you can just ask customers questions, or you can just say, hey, do you know what? I was out there and three customers today have said this to me. We've got something on the website and it's really hard to find the whatever tab. That's a real gift, but you've got to know to be able to capture that and bring it back into your business. The second thing is, once you've done that, be able to generate insights and the root cause. So if three customers say to you, I couldn't find the phone number of the office on the website, the root cause is there's something wrong with the design of your web page. There's probably more than that trigger that customers are struggling to find. So don't put what I call lipstick on the pig. Don't just move the phone number from the bottom of the page and put it at the top, because then everyone can find the phone number, because you've hidden something else important. The problem that customers are telling you is data isn't clearly found on your website. So it's different. So be really clear. You get the trigger from your customer. What is the real root cause that you want to change within your business? And the third thing is you've got to have some way of doing something with this data. So when you find an opportunity, you've got to be able to work out what is the biggest thing to do, because you're not going to do everything that customers ask you to do. You know, oh, I don't like the way of your statement, or can you move this, or can you do that? All of that's really valuable. But if you've got 58 things that 58 customers want to do, which one are you going to work on first? You've got to know how to size it. You've got to know how many customers find that a problem. And you've got to be able to have a process of prioritizing that within your business. So we can't do everything that customers ask us to do. Be really clear on customer data and working on the right stuff that will get you the biggest impact, and then be able to measure that impact. Frontline teams and leaders, they are the golden gift, nugget, whatever you want to call it, within your business. So if you take nothing from today, apart from this phrase, I'll be really happy. So people that do work improve work. Just sit with that for a second. People that do work improve work. As a senior leader in a business, I do not improve our customer experience. My job is to help the people that talk to our customers have a way to tell me what's not working, and my job is to take on that improvement and make it happen. So leaders' roles are to drive improvement. People that talk to customers are the people that actually know what we should be working on. So frontline teams and leaders are the people that really have the capability to change your customer experience and drive advocacy within your business. I don't understand my statement. Can you explain it to me, please? perfect example. If you get that 3 times a day, your statements need work. The guy in the office, the principal, he won't know that 3 customers every day call questioning the statements. So why would he put time, resource, cost into a statement revamp project? He won't know to. Data capture. Everyone that talks to customers, so those frontline leaders and teams, they need to have a way to capture this data. It's not post-it notes. It's not flying it around. Because if you don't have a method to catch your customers' key pain points, you don't know how big the problem is, and therefore you can't prioritize which one to work on first. So what are customers telling you, and how often are they telling you, and what's the impact? And then you can prioritize where you start to drive improvement within your business. Use insights to change the way you operate, resolve processes, systems, problems, constraints within your business. But more importantly, continue to remember to build capability within your front line. So people that are talking to customers, it's that employee experience, continue to develop them and your customer experience will improve. They will want to capture data to tell you what's going on, and they will want to help you build and change your business because they're so invested in it, because they feel that they're being heard. So as a leader or someone that's going to really start and set businesses apart, these are the questions that you need to be asking yourself and asking within the business and challenging the people that you work with and for. So do we really understand the needs and goals of the customer and what matters to them? Because if not, we're potentially making decisions on customers' behalf and we can be doing the wrong thing. What is the purpose of any initiative in the office? Are we solving the real problem here? Or are we just putting lipstick on the pig? So that goes back to going back to root cause. By what method will our initiative solve the customer issue and deliver what matters to them? So it's okay solving the problem, but are you still not giving them what they're really asking for? How will I know that it's working for our people and our customers? So you've got to be able to measure things. So are you going to use NPS as the measure, or are you going to do reduction in calls or reduction in complaints or reduction of people asking the same question? Be really clear on how you're going to measure this improvement. Are you measuring customer betterment, or have you targeted yourself? Because if you say, I want 60% less phone calls a week, you'll get 60% less phone calls. Trust me, you will achieve that target. But are you actually delivering what matters in a better customer experience? It's different. Am I designing a customer-centric solution in isolation, or is my initiative working to improve the entire episode? So what I say there is, remember, am I just removing calls, or am I helping that entire end-to-end journey for that customer? Go back to the sales process. Is it right from seeing the advert or walking into the office right through to moving in? Is everything I'm doing going to affect all of those touch points within that customer journey? Because you can do 60% of that episode really well for the customer and fail on move-in date. Something goes wrong. There's no keys. They sat there with a truck full of furniture and the keys don't arrive. Your episode is zero. You've got detractors. They remember how bad that moving in experience was, not everything else in that buying process. And your brand and you as that individual can be associated with that. So always think horizontally. So to really drive advocacy and therefore loyalty, it starts with your thinking. Take an outside-in view of what you're doing. Feedback is a gift, so you need a mechanism to get feedback from your customers, but you have to acknowledge them. Thank you for giving me that feedback, and this is what I'm doing with it. And then you actually need to do something with it. And remember again that phrase, people that do the work are best placed to improve the work, not managers. They're in touch with reality. They're the ones that get the battle scars when the customers are shouting at them or are so annoyed that they've input the address into 16 different systems on the same day. And all of that will build your brand awareness, will help with economic growth, customer loyalty, profitability, and also employee loyalty. If your employees are starting to see the changes within your business and being listened to, turnover does lower because they're starting to feel invested in the business and starting to see that customers are getting better experiences and they're proud to be part of that brand and that office or that franchise group.
Okay, so that's it for this week. Catch you again soon for some more insights from our Transform Master Series. To listen in to upcoming videos and podcasts, visit eliteagent.com.au/transform. I'm Samantha McLean. See you soon.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.